Okay, Acts chapter 8. Tonight we're talking about the Baptist distinctives and what it means to be a Baptist. Of course, what we're really meaning is it means to believe and practice what the Bible says. Actually, you cannot be a Lutheran if you believe and practice the Bible. You can't be a Catholic if you believe and practice the Bible. You can't be an Episcopalian if you believe and practice the Bible. You can't be a Presbyterian if you believe and practice the Bible. If you just had the Bible and you read it and obeyed it and didn't know there was any such thing as a denominational label, you would be called a Baptist. Really, a Baptist is one who believes and practices the Bible, and especially in the area of how a church operates and how a church functions. That does not mean that everybody that has the name Baptist is a Bible believer, nor does it mean that everybody as a Baptist follows the Bible. They may have the name, but it means nothing. But we are talking of the phrase in a theological, biblical sense. So, last week we were talking about that a Bible-believing church, the church that the Bible talks about, is a church that has a regenerated or saved church membership. And we gave a number of reasons why the Bible teaches that a church should be made of saved people. And we gave quite a list of reasons why. One reason that we didn't give is that because in order to follow the New Testament and for a church to follow the New Testament, every member of the church needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're not saved. And the Bible was written with the premise that in the church, the people are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what is required for a church to function like it's supposed to. If the people aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, then the church will not function according to the Bible. It's kind of like our founding father said our Constitution was made for a moral and God-fearing people. And, well, now, really, in Washington, D.C., they just laugh at the Constitution because they know that, really, America is no longer a God-fearing and moral society, and so the Constitution doesn't work in that premise. And so, now, tonight, we'd like to talk about immersion for believers only. Okay? Immersion for believers only. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. We have this passage of Philip witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch. And let's see, we have some people here from Ethiopia, right? Okay. Ethiopian eunuch. And the Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. here we have two obvious truths, that the baptism was for only a believer. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Immersion is only for people who are already saved. The fact that it's by immersion is implied in the text. They both went down into the water, and they both came up out of the water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. He wasn't talking about a canteen that they had in the chariot. I'm sure they had a canteen or something like it and a jug of water in the chariot that if they were going to sprinkle or if they were going to pour, they wouldn't have to worry about a body of water to have a baptism. But the fact that it was by immersion is implied by the fact that there had to be a body of water, and this was a large enough body of water that would require, that would have to be more than what would be required for sprinkling or what would be required for immersion. And of course, then the aspect is that there was a requirement for baptism, and that was that it was for only people who are believers. Now, if you think about that, that eliminates most of Christendom, because most of Christendom practice infant baptism. Most of Christendom practices sprinkling or pouring. Okay? And all of a sudden now we're eliminated down to about a small percentage of people who claim to be Christians. We've eliminated most of the Protestants. We've eliminated the Catholics. We've eliminated the Greek Orthodox. We've eliminated, obviously, a whole host of people tonight from what the Bible has to say. Okay? Now, let's talk about what it says for believers only. Throughout the Bible, genuine conversion is required for baptism. Genuine conversion is required for baptism. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3 and verse 8. In verse 7, then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So here we find that before John the Baptist would baptize them, there had to be evidence of genuine conversion. There had to be evidence of genuine conversion. All right? In Acts chapter 19, we find that there were people who were baptized but hadn't been saved. And we find that the Apostle Paul preaches to them, teaches them about Christ, and they were baptized after they heard of Christ. Acts chapter 19. And it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. And he said to them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto then, what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So he baptized them because they had not obviously been saved. They didn't know about the Holy Spirit. They didn't even even know what to believe, because Paul reiterated that that John had told the people to believe on the one who was going to follow. And so those who were not saved but had been baptized were baptized after they were genuinely saved. Number two, believers only, because in the scripture, the order is always repentance, faith, believe before baptism. Repentance, faith, or believe before baptism. We had Acts chapter 7 tonight, chapter 8, and he said, if you believe. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, it said, what does it say? It says, Acts 18:8, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. In the order in Scripture, always repentance, faith, believe is before baptism. Number three, it's for believers only, because only believers could fulfill the meaning of baptism. Only believers can fulfill the meaning of baptism. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, for if we have been planted, verse 5, together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. All right? So only a believer could publicly identify themselves as having died. Only a believer could do that. Only a believer could identify themselves to the world that they had newness of life. Only a believer could identify themselves as saying that their old life is gone and buried. Only a believer can do that. Believers only can fulfill the meaning of baptism. Only believers could identify themselves as a part of the people of God. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. One body. The one body of believers. Acts 2:38. Only believers could identify with remission of sins, could say that their sins have been forgiven. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Of course, you have to understand the word for doesn't mean resulting in the remission of sins, but for means because of the remission of sins. And it's amazing how when the cults take a verse and twist it, that meaning just is in the top of your head. But you know, people go to jail for murder, you know, because of murder. And it's kind of bad English, you know, but we'll say, well, I'm going to go to the store to buy me something. Okay? Well, So, only believers can fulfill the meaning of baptism. Number four, only believers can fulfill the requirements that follow baptism. Only believers could fulfill the requirements that follow baptism. Notice in Romans 6:4, it says that we should walk in newness of life. That we should walk in newness of life. You know, I remember as before I was saved, you know, confused, like most people are. And I was taught that, you know, infant sprinkling, you know, made you saved and all that stuff. And I remember thinking, boy, you know what? It didn't work for me. Because I know I'm a real sinner. You know what? Only a saved person can walk in newness of life. unsaved person can't walk in newness of life. Only a saved person. And the Bible tells us that coming up out of the water is a picture of resurrection. It's telling the world, I'm a resurrected person. I have new life in Jesus Christ. Only a believer could tell the world that they have newness of life and it be true and for them to be able to live the life. So baptism is only for believers. Baptism is only by immersion. I have four reasons. There are more. Why baptism can only be by immersion. In Romans chapter 6, that's where we are right now. It says verse 5, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Well, you know, only immersion can picture death. Only immersion can picture burial. Only immersion can picture resurrection. And so as we've been planted, and what do you do if you plant a seed? Do you bury it? Yeah. You bury a dead seed, don't you? Okay, and that's why it uses the word planting. Romans 6, 3 and 4 is not talking about spirit baptism. Romans 6, 3 and 4 is talking about water baptism. Water baptism. And it uses the inference of the phrase likeness. It talks about likeness. It talks about planted in the likeness of his death. It tells us that it's symbolical. And baptism does not save you. It says we are buried into Christ. Okay? If you're saying that spirit baptism, you're saying that spirit baptism joins you to Christ. No, faith joins you to Christ. Faith joins to Christ. The minute you put your faith in Christ, you are in Christ. You are not into Christ. Into in the Bible is the word that always speaks of identification. And every place that we have the Bible talking about baptism, it's into Christ, into death, into burial, into the body, into repentance, into remission of sins, into the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. Every one of those places, it's the same Greek word, eis, which is here translated into. It's always identification. Okay? Number two, it has to be by immersion because of geographical inferences. John was baptizing in Ainon near Salem because there was much water there. The eunuch said, see, here is water. He wasn't talking about a canteen. He's talking about a body of water. Geographical inferences. They went down into the water. Number three, it has to be by immersion. The word bapto, which we get the word baptism, means to dip. There's one place in the New Testament where the word bapto is translated, not transliterated. Anybody know what reference that is? Where baptism, bapto, is translated, not transliterated. Transliterated means to take the Greek word and just take the Greek word and put it into English letters. And baptism is a Greek word. It's not a translation, it's a transliteration. But what is the actual translation of the word bapto? One verse, the New Testament, that translates it. The rest, King James says, don't translate it. Because we're trying to go from immersion to sprinkling, so don't translate it. How many are Baptists here? That's where it came from. It's a Dyer's term. How about Revelation 19:13? Every Baptist ought to know this verse. Okay, Revelation 19:13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. That, as far as I know, it's the only place in the New Testament where the word bapto is translated as its normal translation, and it's translated dip. Okay? Jesus' disciples and John's disciples were having a discussion. And they were having a discussion about purification. And purification, right, in the Old Testament was a rite that was a baptism. A baptism. We just studied this when Naaman was told to go into the river Jordan. And what was he told to do? What was he told to do? There you go. He was told to wash himself 7 times. And when he went into the went to the Jordan, what did he do? It says he dipped himself 7 times. The Old Testament Levitical washings were dippings. You go to Israel today, you'll find Levitical pools all over Israel. And there's a big, it's like a big baptismal tank, but it's a Levitical ablution pool, they call it, and it has 2 sets of stairs. And you go down, if you've touched an unclean, a dead person or whatever, you have to be, said you have to wash, and so they made it a Levitical washing. And so they go down 1 set of stairs into the water, and, this is a big pool, and they dip themselves in the water, and then there's another set of stairs where they walk out. Now, they can't walk out the same way they came in because they were unclean when they came in. And if they walked out those stairs, they'd be unclean again. But in the Bible, the Old Testament parallel of baptism was the Levitical washings. Now, if a Gentile got saved, he would have to become a Jew. And in order to become a Jew and worship, he had to give a testimony of his faith, being born again. He would have to give a testimony of his doctrine, what he believed. He would have to come with a blood sacrifice, picturing his faith in a substitute. He would have to come, he would have to get baptized. Because as a Gentile, he was unclean. And so he would have to go through Levitical purification. Now, notice in the New Testament, if a person gets saved and they are going to worship God, well, first of all, they got to be saved. Secondly, they have to give a testimony of their faith in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, they have to give a doctrinal confession of their faith. The church has a doctrinal statement, right? You're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you would have to be baptized. No different than the Old Testament. Just kind of turned around to the New Testament era. And so, when Peter says, repent and be baptized to those Jews, it wasn't like it was coming out of the sky. This was a very clear thing that they had seen Gentiles do many, many times. And they recognized that they were lost, and now they were saved, and they were going to identify themselves with Jesus Christ in as the second person of the Trinity, identify themselves as people who had been saved from their sins, and identify with the people of God by believers' baptism. So we have simple four reasons why baptism is only for believers. We have four simple reasons that baptism can only be by immersion. And baptism by immersion for believers only. Very simple truth. But you think about it, it's not necessarily a truth that is followed today, even in modern Christianity. And it certainly identifies the people of God as uniquely the people of God. Okay, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God tonight, and we thank you for these truths. And Lord, I am sure there are people here tonight that are saved, that have not totally identified themselves as they ought, as a person who is dead to their old self, dead to the world, but and alive in Jesus Christ. And they need to come to that place of surrender and identification and be a sold out testimony for Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that that great truth that is pictured physically in the element of water baptism by immersion, I pray that, Lord, the great truth that believers in the Bible were unashamed to take a stand for Jesus Christ, and they did so in a hostile world, identifying themselves publicly in believers' baptism. And so, Lord, use this truth in our lives, and for those who have done so, might we be reminded of the obligation there is in identifying with Christ, and may others see the great privilege that we have in the Bible and the command that is expected of us. In Jesus' name, amen.